Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Geekly Revealed. It's that show that brings you geeky news on a weekly basis. That's geeky, that's weekly, that's geekly. As always, it's me, your host, Dom, aka Brother Dom, all over the internet. And once again, I'm joined by my adjective co-hosts. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
I prefer adverb co-host. Thank you very much. No, you can't put an adverb in front of a noun. I'm sorry. That's how words, not how words work. It's Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, the Snow Queer on Tumblr, a word expert all over the internet. Wash your hands for 20 seconds.
That's a good idea. Hi,
that's all I've got.
I'm Eric, and I prefer to be the punctuation, so I'll just end right there.
Which punctuation do you like to be?
Just want you to know I'm dabbing in my apartment.
Tag yourself, I'm exclamation point.
Tag yourself, I'm ampersand.
I am the at sign.
Hell yeah.
I wish we would have thought of that bit and planned it out, because I feel like there's good material there, but I don't know what it would be. How y'all two doing today?
Yeah.
You know, as bad as everything is, last week was not a bad week for me personally.
Yeah.
Good.
I mostly, like, quote-unquote worked and played video games.
Cool.
I stayed inside, like my governor says I should.
Your governor has good ideas?
What?
Only sometimes. He doesn't really fulfill them most of the time.
Okay.
At least he's not getting a fucking Emmy for being a jackass.
Is that a thing?
They're giving Andrew Cuomo an Emmy for doing COVID well, I guess.
I'm sorry, you get an Emmy for that now?
Yeah.
I guess
he was on TV a lot? Maybe they're confusing him with Chris Cuomo.
Yeah, the newscaster.
No, he did like this whole like... Yeah, he did, like, his whole, like, cast. He did stuff, which I didn't think it was, like, eligible for Emmys. Like, I guess if the news is eligible for Emmys, or, like, content creation is, still a weird thing to award, though. Like, hey, congratulations on your, like, weird handling of this whole issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird move, but...
Yeah, well, we're doing pretty all right here in Pennsylvania. Like, people don't always love our governor because they're hateful jackasses. But a lot of people really like our lieutenant governor, John Fetterman.
I
really he's
die
pretty
for
cool.
One man, and it's John Fetterman.
He's pretty cool.
He's very enjoyable to see on the internet. He has like good politics too.
Yeah, he's this really like, leftist kind of like Yinzer who like helped pull like one of the like really. He used to be a mayor in Western PA, and like helped really pull the town that he was the mayor of like out of the shit.
Yeah. Really, really, really strong guy in that those kind of things, and also just like a delight to follow on Twitter because he's such a yinzer, and like, you know, like a local Pittsburgher type person, the way he talks and acts and stuff, and his Zoom background got raided when that whole thing was happening, and I think Jeb Bush was complaining about like this blog being like partisan, which they had just raided a Republican's background pretty decent, so I don't know what he's talking about. But John Fetterman's like, yeah, but I'm a super progressive, like, liberal lefty man, and they gave me a 1 out of 10 and then said it looked like I was in a hostage situation, so I don't know what this buys. And then I saw the picture, and I'm like, oh, he's just in a Pittsburgh basement or a garage, because that looks like natural light, but he's wearing a jacket while seeming to be indoors, so, like, I see what they were saying.
Speaking as somebody who is not from Pittsburgh but has been in a Pittsburgh basement, they are strange looking.
They can look like you were in a hostage situation when you're inside them.
If you're my like size, they may as well be like Cruel and Unusual Punishment because you can't fit.
Remember the corner in the old house that me and my brother and roommate lived in? Like, it looked like it was a saw trap in the one corner of that basement.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't even like going in there. I'm like, yo, if someone broke into our house while we weren't here, it'd be a great place to hide. I don't live there anymore, so it's fine. But...
I regularly had, like, in order to take a shower at Dom's old place, I had to, like, sit down. I couldn't fit.
That was in the downstairs shower, right?
Yeah, your weird basement shower in your weird basement, yes.
But wasn't that a nice little bathroom, though? Like, it looked very furnished.
Yeah.
It looked very furnished, but it was freezing in there, yes, as someone who has to take, like, part of her clothes off to go to the bathroom. Like,
isn't that most people?
Yeah, but I mean, just to pee. Like, I have to actually pull my pants down. Y'all can just whip it out.
I mean, I also do because it feels good, man.
Like, does it feel good in Dom's freezing bathroom, though?
No, very little felt good down there.
So it's kind of funny, like, whenever I would go down there, like, if my roommate was using the other bathroom, like, cause there was an upstairs one that was much nicer and also attached to not a Pittsburgh basement.
And it had a window that you could sit on the toilet and look out the window.
Yeah, you could do that. That downstairs basement actually gets really, really warm if you, like, left the door closed and, like, the heat would go on. It would, like, get unbearably hot in there if it wasn't freezing cold, like, in the winter. Like, in the summer it was freezing cold because the AC would flood it. But in the winter, the heat would flood it. So it's always uncomfortable, opposite of what the outside is.
Beautiful.
Fun fact.
It's just, I hope it's just whoever lives there now is aware
yeah.
of how it works.
Yeah, good luck for them. But hey, we have lots of pop culture stuff to talk about.
Not just your basement.
Yeah.
Not just my basement, you know?
Not just your last former week basement.
Yeah, former basement. I don't have a basement now. I live in an apartment. I mean, there are basement thingies, but they're not mine. Anyway... So, do we want to talk about the big three major topics? Do we want to hit any, like, the weekly stuff? Where do we want to go with this? The world is our oyster.
I'm going to make Eric start. Tell us about Musou Games.
Okay. So, Musou Games are another name for the Dynasty Warriors games in general, like, as, like, a whole concept.
As, like, a genre.
As a genre,
like, isekai is, like, a genre of storytelling kind of thing.
Yes. And a new one came out on Friday, which was the second Hyrule Warriors, which is a prequel to Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Okay, it's a prequel. I didn't know that. I thought it was a sequel.
Yes, well, so they billed it as a prequel, but really, like, I don't really know how much of it could actually be considered canon, because the game starts off with, like, a guardian, which are these, like, ancient technology things, going back in time to prevent what is currently happening in that timeline from happening. So it's
so
kind
of... you know you didn't succeed? Like...
Yeah, so I'm like, so either A, we know we didn't succeed, or B, this is just, like, a random, like, going back in time to show, like, what could have happened? I don't really know, because I haven't beaten the game yet, but it just seems like an odd way to frame the, like, the story. But, you know, that's fine. But it's a very, very good, so, like, the first Dynasty Warriors game was actually a fighting game on the PS1, and I think that's it. And it wasn't good. So, I mean, like, it wasn't great. Some people probably liked it. Sorry to those, like, 10 of you out there who I might have just offended. But it kind of evolved from being a fighting game to these games where you are a character, and they're action games. You kind of just mash buttons and go and kill literally hundreds to thousands of enemies at a time. Their big like draw is always being like, look at how many enemies we have on screen at the same time. And it's like, yeah, and they're all the same sprite over and over again. And they barely move, and I just cleave through them and they die. The main
sounds exciting to me. Jeez,
I mean, yeah. I look. I will always stand by that. Dynasty Warriors games are trash, but they're the kind of like they're like the fast food of video games. They're just like junk food. You know, you don't go to them for like this fulfilling experience. You go to them for like, I want to be Lu Bu, and beat up 2,000. Of the Yellow Turban Rebellion people or whatever. Because the original story of Dynasty Warriors is always kind of like the Romance of the Three Kingdoms.
I was going to say, is it like a Chinese historical thing?
Yes, vaguely. There's a lot of magic and shit in it, so like...
Well,
yes,
you know, there's lots of magic in
could be,
in Chinese
I don't know.
History.
According to Dynasty Warriors, there is. So... But, like, that kind of became massively popular after the first couple that were in that style of these, like, just big scale battles, like, go and hit things with a spear or a sword and, like, all the different characters. And, you know, they eventually spun off into other, like, IPs, like Zelda, for instance, and, like, my personal favorite, Gundam. The Gundam Dynasty Warriors games are fantastic because who doesn't want to just be a giant robot in space fighting hundreds of thousands of other giant robots in space?
Can't think of anything I'd rather do.
Yeah. And, like, there's not a whole lot to say about the series as a whole other than, like, for the longest time, they've been pretty stale. You know, it's always been, like, the same kind of format. Every couple iterations, maybe they add a new feature. You know, they eventually added, like, you get new weapons, you level up those weapons, you can swap between characters, like, you choose, like, four characters per, you know, battle or whatever, and you can swap between them. Like, little things like that, but it's never really, it's always been, like, the same kind of progress in the game. Like, you're just going to go into a level and kill a bunch of things and, like, take bases and then kill a boss and then, woohoo, you beat the level.
Woohoo!
And, you know, this new Zelda one is that. Like, that is that is how that game plays for the most part. But because they're trying to tie, like, this narrative to it, there is, like, a lot of interesting stuff they've done with, like, the way that you select the missions is you have, like, a world map that you're, like, looking down at, and you get, like, little different story bits based on, like, selecting things that might not even be a battle. It might just be you need to go deliver, like, these materials to this person, and they'll teach you a new sword combo or something. Mm-hmm. And you get little, like, snippets of story that way, and it's kind of neat. The characters in this one play more differently than any other Dynasty Warriors game that I've played, which is kind of impressive. Like, they definitely put some thought into, like, we need these Zelda characters to actually feel different.
They felt sort of similar-ish in the first Hyrule Warriors. Like, at least, like, they were different. There were definitely differences, but they all kind of felt like, okay, this is more to my playstyle rather than, like, being full different characters. But, like, just in the short demo, I was like, yo, Impa, Link, and Zelda play, like, drastically different. Yes. They feel drastically different to control.
Yeah, and, you know, like, every character that I've encountered so far, which I've just unlocked the four champions, if you're familiar with the Breath of the Wild. So, like the four champions that piloted the Divine Beasts or whatever it was. Yeah. So, like, I've unlocked them, like, Zelda, Link, and Impa, and I thought that was going to be it for characters, but apparently there's, like, 14 more.
Oh, yeah, you got to go wild, you know? Yeah. I mean, you got to get Robbie in there, you know, the King of Hyrule.
I mean,
all the favorites from the series.
Yeah, which I didn't expect, but, you know, it... So far, I can definitely say that each character plays differently enough that it makes it fun to kind of switch between them. And the thing that I like the most is, like, when I played through the first Hyrule Warriors, Link was my go-to character, because it's fucking Link, you know how to play him, he's got a sword, go for it.
Yeah, pretty easy, straightforward stuff.
Yeah, in this one, because it's based off of Breath of the Wild, in which Link gets a bunch of different weapons, Link gets different types of weapons, and they all play differently. So Link is actually kind of multiple characters in and of himself. So that's
a pretty nice touch.
Yeah, it's been cool to see how they've adapted that kind of stuff to it. You know, I hope that this is another turning point for the, like, Musou game genre, because I want them to take what they learned from making this and apply it to their main series, which has not changed. Which, like, the biggest change in, like, Dynasty Warriors 9 was that there was an open world to it, and it was shit. Like, yeah, it was terrible.
That game came out after Hyrule Warriors, and people were like, this isn't as good as Hyrule Warriors was. There's no excuse for this.
Well, and then like, the Fire Emblem Warriors came out after Hyrule Warriors, and it still wasn't as good as the first Hyrule Warriors.
I mean, the first Hyrule Warriors was very good. Yes.
So, explain to me real fast. Go ahead, Dom.
I was going to say, I would like to know if they applied any of these lessons to Persona 5 Scramble, but they refused to localize that game for whatever reason.
It's supposed to be sometime next year, so...
I know, but that doesn't help me now.
Yeah, that's fair. What was your question, Steph?
Just, is Dynasty Warriors, like, the people who make it, is it the same person who makes Hyrule Warriors, or is it, like they make all of the, like, ex-warriors type of thing, or is it just, like, a way of referring to the genre in the way that, like, Musou and Dynasty Warriors are?
I think
that they're all Tecmo Koei that makes all of them. That's what makes it even stranger. Like, they're all collaborations with that company.
Yeah, so, like, Nintendo probably has more say in what's going to go on in, like, a Hyrule Warriors or whatever, but, like,
gotcha.
Tecmo Koei is still the company that is, like, overall developing it. So, okay. it's strange to see when, like, you'll go and play,
so it's like a thing, like, with Pokemon and Game Freak, like...
Yeah. It's strange to see, though, like, you'll go and play, like, the main series Dynasty Warriors or their offshoot Samurai Warriors, and they play differently, but they're by the exact same company, and the only difference is that it's Chinese mythology versus Japanese mythology. Like, it's very strange. I think they're starting to try to unify and, like, kind of create a better game. But you still get these other offshoots, like the One Piece has had four...
One Piece Warriors?
Yes. They call it Pirate Warriors.
Okay, that tracks.
And their fourth one just came out last year. And I haven't played that one yet, but I remember the first two being very good. And I remember thinking, why can't the mainline Dynasty Warriors games be this good?
I feel like they don't want to keep making the mainline ones anymore. They just kind of have to.
Yeah.
Just churning them out and putting a new number at the end.
Well, and after Dynasty Warriors 9 came out, Warriors Orochi 4 came out. And that's... Warriors Orochi is the series where they combine Samurai Warriors and Dynasty Warriors together. And
I'm guessing those are probably good, too.
They don't try to make them grounded in any sort of reality, so they just get ridiculous. So, like, Warriors Orochi 4, like, you're fighting gods? Like, you are fighting, like, Greek gods. It's very, very weird.
That's something that totally happened in Chinese and Japanese mythology.
Well, and the thing is, like, the characters are talking about these Greek gods, Greek and, like, Norse gods, as if they were like, oh yeah, I am fully aware of who Loki is. And you're just playing the game, you're like, you would have no reason to know that.
Like... That makes me so happy. Yeah. I like the idea of, like if we're all going to agree that yeah, maybe this is culturally and there's cultural basis in it, but we're all going to agree, like, yeah, like, these people, like, characters didn't exist in, like, reality, whether people thought they did or not. So let's just have, like, the shared fiction of the world, like, you know, not appropriated, but say, you know, if we want to have Loki fight Pluto, why not? Like,
yeah. Those games are really good, and it's just one of those things where, I know there's, like, the series, like, of Dynasty Warriors games as a whole get shit on a lot, especially by, like, games media, like, journalists and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because, like, it is, as I said, it is the fast food of video games. Like, do you want
a
game...
Yeah, it's not super cerebral stuff.
Yeah. And, for the longest time, they were just telling the same stories over and over again. I can't even tell you what the stories of, like, the Gundam games were, because I'm pretty sure there weren't any. Like, I'm pretty sure...
I don't need there to be a story, like...
Yeah.
I'm playing those for fun. Like, the fact that there was a story in Hyrule Warriors only brought it down because it did some super racist stuff with Lana. Like,
yes.
The bad guy is just a black version of this one good guy.
Yep.
And why did she turn evil? Because she's really in love with Link and got jealous. Like, oof, oofa doofa, what are you doing? Yeah.
the better, quote-unquote, story mode in the original Hyrule Warriors was the adventure mode, where it just gave you maps of, like, the Zelda games and was like... Every square on this map is a level. Go play it.
Like... That was super fun. Here's a question to put a bow on this for both of you. I know you don't know the style as much, Steph, but the question to you two. What franchise would you like to see crossed as a Musou game, like crossed with Dynasty
Warriors? Dude, I've thought about this so many times, and it always comes back to Dragon Ball Z. I think Dragon Ball would make a fantastic entry for that.
That's true. That would work very well.
Oh man.
I mean, I'll give you some time to think, but yeah, I mean, honestly,
maybe Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, that would be good.
Actually,
too.
That would work really well. Yeah.
The only thing that, like, really has to exist within the world that you want is the ability for there to be literally thousands of people getting killed, and there would be no consequence to it.
So Lord of the Rings could work.
Yeah, orcs. Like.
When in doubt, just orc.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, the go-to answer for me is just has to be Sonic, obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously. I think there'd be a lot of variation. There's a lot of variation in characters you could have there on both sides of the conflict that you could just have being mowed down. I mean, there's Eggman's guys. There's the good furry guys.
There's all of the...
And then the government.
There's all of the characters that you make in Sonic Forces.
Yeah.
All your OCs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's lots of styles you could have, you know. Sonic, Knuckles, Tails, and Amy plays it differently, and you could do different things with those. And then, you know, to be less obvious, I don't think it would happen, but I have hope because of other games. I think a Mario one would be really fun.
Yeah, I think that would work.
Like, we've seen them cross with Ubisoft for Rabbids, so I don't think it's out of the question that there could be a game like that. We're just running through tons of Goombas. We've seen the different weapons that Mario can use from, like, the Rabbids games or, like, the Mario and Luigi games where he has, like, hammers and different stuff.
Yeah, they could finally put characters from Super Mario RPG in something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Waluigi could have something else to do. It could be his first non-sports game. It'd still be a non-canon game, but, you know, why not?
Yeah, that's definitely another good call. I really do think that Dragon Ball Z would be a pretty perfect entry.
That would be wild. You can make that look super cool, and you could even justify anything you want with, like, oh, there was a wish about something, so now there's just, like, a million Kid Goku level powers that Frieza wants to mow through.
Like they brought back all the Saiyans and all of, like, the different, you know, like, different races or whatever, and now you have to go fight them all. Like, it's fine.
Yeah. Super easy. Using magic. But let's, we could talk about this honestly forever, but we shouldn't.
I love what ifs of Dynasty Warriors games, because there are a ton of series that could, like, you know, could make a very good entry. And, you know, if you have any ideas, leave them in a comment.
Shout out.
Actually, let's do that as, like, a episode, or, like, when we next time we do a charity, just, like, have an hour where we just workshop ideas for
Dynasty Warriors what games. What if? Hell yeah.
Yeah, I would like to do that. Speaking of nonsense, though, Steph, what happened this week?
Oh, man. Man, oh, man. So
that's all the harder I want to dive into that segue.
So I watched the Supernatural series finale on Tuesday or Thursday or whatever night it aired. I can't remember. It's been a long week.
Before we get into it, can you tell us why you did that?
Because she hates herself.
A little bit about that. A little bit of I hate myself. A little bit of, like, this was once a show that I watched religiously, and I want to see how it ended. A little bit of, I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast, ancient history at this point, but I mentioned when I went into to see Frozen 2, I was like, I will eat an actual raw onion like an apple if they actually give Elsa a girlfriend in this movie.
And that was a free bet.
And that's, yeah, and that's about the spirit that I had going into this, of them making, like, even the slightest gesture towards Dean reciprocating Castiel's feelings. Which, you know, again, is a free bet, because Misha Collins, who plays Castiel, wasn't even in the episode. they name-dropped him once at the beginning, where Sam was like, oh, it's so sad. Like, they went to a pie festival, because Dean loves pie.
Haha, funny joke. That's the only thing I know about Supernatural.
Yeah, it's real fun. He's like, he comes back to the bench that Sam's sitting on with, like, half a dozen pieces of pie, and Sam's like, man, it's so too bad that Cass and, like, some other character couldn't be here to enjoy this. And Dean was like, yeah, but we gotta focus on what, like, the here and now, like, there's pie in front of me, like, it was just like, oh, okay, so the person that you've spent two-thirds of the series having the closest bond, regardless of romance, the closest bond you had with anyone in your life besides your brother, it's okay that he's gone in super hell for being gay, I guess?
Peace out.
Yeah, so peace out. So then it turns into a Monster of the Week episode, which is really bold for the series finale. In which
something about vampire mimes.
Yeah, vampires wearing scary mime masks invade a house and steal some children, and so the brothers have to chase it down. They play all the old favorites, getting the weapons out of the back of the car, like looking up the like this like a um the vampires in the journal and realizing that, like, they're, like, they are around in the area and they have an MO and, like, that kind of thing. Like, and then they go to fight the vampire mimes. And they... Turns out that they're led by some lady vampire from several... From, like, season two, one or two, who they, like, only do brief enough of a flat... Like, someone who was watching the show regularly for 15 years probably would not have placed who this person was.
Cool.
Like, they're, like, do, like, a flashback of her from, like, that season real fast, and you're like, wait, who the fuck is Jenny?
So you mean they got they were led by the actress that they were able to get back for the finale?
The one single actress that they were able to get come back for the finale. She's beheaded within seconds of being on screen.
Cool.
Well, yeah, because the only thing worse than being gay is being a woman.
Is being a woman in Supernatural. So
isn't it great when, like, writers just wear their baggage, like, not just on their sleeves, but, like, on their fucking gloves? Like,
so... She's beheaded, but then one of the unnamed, no lines vampire mimes pushes Dean against the wall, and he is impaled by some dirty stake sticking out of the side of the wall, but not even in a way that it comes out the front of him. It's just like a 4-inch little spike sticking into his kidney, and he's like, this is it for me. Sam's like, I'm gonna go get the first aid kit. And he's like, no, there's no time, Sammy. Like,
man, this show really hates dicks, like, really bad.
Like, and then there's apparently no time to get the first aid kit, but then he monologues at Sam for, like, a solid 10 minutes about, like, how much he loved being his brother and fighting with him and hunting with him and everything they'd been through together. And I was like, is this an episode for the people who still ship Sam and Dean? Like, I don't know how many people there are left. Was they, like, part of the... I feel like a solid part of the reason that they introduced Cassiel was, like, we have to stop them shipping incest. Like... Well, there are only two white men on the screen. They're going to ship the two white men. And right now, they're brothers. We have to make it stop. But, like, there's, like, a weirdly charged... like, farewell, and then Dean dies, and Sam's heartbroken. Sam goes back to their, like, little hideout and, like, is sad, and then gets called away on, and then, like, one of his, their many, like, burner phones rings, and so he goes off to, like, continue fighting the good fight and saving people, hunting things, the family business, as they say in the second episode, Wendigo. I have very encyclopedic knowledge of the first 5 seasons of Supernatural when it was a good show. It just had some problems.
rather than a problem show that had some goods in it.
But so while Sam is living out his entire rest of his life, we see him aging. He puts on and then I will put on some glasses to show that time has passed, to quote John Mulaney.
Yep.
They like put him in a really bad, ugly gray wig. We see that he's named his son Dean because the name Dean is embroidered in giant letters on the front of his baby overalls.
That's how we identify them.
Literally, like, this entire episode was the epitome of, like, tell, don't show. Like, there was a scene where like, they were like, if you give us the information now, we'll kill you with the machete. If you give us the information later, we'll kill you with the little knife. And then they went on to explain that the machete would be a fast death, and the little knife would be a long, involved death.
So what you're saying is that Supernatural has no faith in its fans' abilities to understand nuance.
It was excruciating. And then, while Sam is living out his whole life, Dean is in heaven talking to Bobby, who apparently is the only guest star they could get to come back for this episode because he doesn't see anyone else in heaven. Bobby was, like, their mentor who, like, helped them out when when their dad wasn't around, kind of thing. And so they see Bobby. They're at the Bobby is sitting outside of a bar owned by two fan favorite female characters from an early season. We do not see Ellen and Joe. We do not. Bobby mentions again that because last time they were in heaven, and like, at least in my experience in season 5, everyone was like kind of cordoned off from each other. Like, you couldn't be in someone else's heaven. So like, you couldn't visit anyone, but they were like, no, Castiel and Jack, who was apparently, as I was explaining in the chat, the son of Lucifer by a presidential staffer when Lucifer was possessing the president, and then Castiel and Sam and Dean raised him together.
Oh.
That's where, yeah, you know, the usual.
You're saying stuff, and I don't want it to be true, but I'm afraid that it is.
Yeah. This was a show, apparently.
This is a show for 15 years. They kept renewing it. And so then, while we're getting this montage of Sam growing old, also, by the way, the wife, not a character that we have ever met before, never seen in focus in the entire, like, montage. He got married to a blurry woman. And then, so finally, he's really old. We see his son, Dean, all grown up, and he's like, it's okay, Dad. And then, so Sam dies, and Dean in heaven has, after meeting Bobby, has discovered his car. The Impala, which also went to heaven.
What?
Castiel did not go to heaven. The car went to heaven.
Was it Lightning McQueen, basically?
No, was it like Grease Lightning going
to heaven? We were also like really, really pissed off because at the beginning, classically, in the beginning of a season finale in Supernatural, it says "The Road So Far" in big like Supernatural font letters, and then they play a bit like a major chunk of "Carry On My Wayward Son" while they recap the season up until that point. And so we were like, at the beginning, it was just like "then, now," and I was like, "Okay, where's The Road So Far? You're all strike one," like. And so then, but then it, because it and the episode was called "Carry On." And so then at the end of the, like, Dean gets in his car and "Carry On My Wayward Son" begins to play as he's, and so the entire length of Sam's life, Dean is driving by himself through like a long back road in heaven.
What?
And so he gets out of the car and stops on a bridge to look at the pretty sights. And then by that time, he has driven so long that Sam is dead and appears on the bridge behind him. And they, like, look off together. They're like, "Oh, you're here, Sammy." And it's like the end, you know, like the depressing end of, like the ninth ending of Return of the King, where Sam comes back and he's just like, "Rosie, I'm home." And that's the end of the book. It's like that. He's just like, it's like, "Oh, you're here." And that was the show.
Well,
that's the end.
Does it feel good?
This kills the man. Like, truly, like, the fact that Misha Collins was not even in the episode is so appalling to me. Like, they couldn't even, like, show him in heaven with Dean, like, near Dean, like, them speaking to each other, like, and, like, so, it was so contrived. Like, having Dean, there's, people were joking online that, like, I'm well aware of how tetanus works and how vaccines work and all of that, but, like, people were joking that, like, Dean's too homophobic to be penetrated by a vaccine, so he died of tetanus in that barn because he got impaled on a dirty stake. I'd rather die than be gay for Cass. Like, just, like, it was so bad. It was just bad. Like, it isn't even corny bad. It's just embarrassingly bad. And, like,
it died as it lived, right?
To the it's to the point where, like, it was where it ruins the rewatch value of the parts of the show that were good.
I like to call that the Mass Effect 3 effect.
Oh, really? I like to call that the Game of Thrones syndrome.
Oh, yeah, Game of Thrones syndrome. Yeah, Mass Effect 3 happened first.
My roommate calls it the How I Met Your Mother finale syndrome. So,
yeah. Many different names.
Just, many different ways. Names. One horrible series finale problem. And, like, I think that even, like, I wonder even, like, if the Game of Thrones finale was better because at least the whole season, I mean, I don't know what the rest of the season was like. Maybe the rest of the season was batshit. Like, at least, it was all but bad. At least the fan favorite couple got to fuck in Game of Thrones. Like, everyone was
I mean, that's true, I guess.
They were like, I'm your aunt. It's okay. We're Targaryens. We've never met before. In a show that has so many sex scenes, we're going to have the absolute most unsexy, like, romanceless sex scene that's ever happened. It's fine.
I mean, that's shown in real life sometimes. Sometimes sex is not sexy. It's just like, oh, you know, we're old. We've been together for 80 years in Dragon Time or whatever. You know, it's... This is what it is. We're very in love, but, like, it's not fun to watch for anybody else.
You know, that way that good television is made.
Yeah, you know. Apparently. Like How I Met Your Mother. I don't know if I've ever watched anything that had a bad ending.
Game of Thrones.
I'm happy for you.
Yeah, lucky
I didn't watch Game of Thrones, didn't watch Supernatural, didn't watch How I Met Your Mother, like, with any, like, intentionality. It's like, I'd watch it if it was on, but I wouldn't say I followed it.
Mm-hmm. Wait up for whenever they finally cancel Criminal Minds, if they ever do.
Oh, I've been done with that for a while now. Like, the thing about that is, like, once characters start leaving, I'm like, okay, this is done. Like, Shamar Moore left, I'm like, yeah, this show's done. Like,
oh, okay.
they could do whatever it wants now, and then, like, the main dude, like, had to leave because he, like, fought somebody on set. Like, Agent Hochner, like, so calm in the show. Dude was, like, fighting people on set, which is not funny in real life. It's just funny that that's the character he played was not somebody who would do that.
Yeah.
You know, and so, like, I don't know if the show has ended or not, but I don't watch past, like, season 11?
Okay, my roommate after was Jennifer watching Love the, Hewitt whole, left. The whole series, like, binging it, and...
Look, if you want the best Criminal Minds experience, you start after Gideon leaves. He wasn't the problem, but the show wasn't good yet. It has nothing to do with that
Mandy
actor.
Patinkin?
Mandy Patinkin. It has nothing to do with him. It's just that wasn't a great time of the show.
Legs yet.
Yeah, like, so watch that up until, like, when Jennifer Love Hewitt gets there. It's still good, but, like, it's like, eh. Like, once she leaves, you could probably just shut it down after that. But season 8's the best. Mark Hamill's in that season.
Nice.
I think my most disappointing show has just been Game of Thrones. Like, I mean, like, I would also say, like, Doctor Who, but that's just because eventually I was like, man, Stephen Moffat sucks at writing. But
yeah, we've been watching actually me and my roommate have been watching the Bill season, the last season with 12.
Mm-hmm.
He's 12, right? Peter Capaldi.
I truly
Matt Smith was 11.
Yeah.
Okay. It's actually pretty decent. It's, like, fun to, like, enjoy watching or, like, enjoy hearing the opening music.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's because fucking Moffat's not writing it anymore.
Yeah. Like... truly, exactly. We were like, I want to watch the Jodie Doctor. We have to watch what's left of this. But it's actually not too bad.
Yeah. I don't know. I already watch so much, like, trash YouTube stuff that I don't think that I can go back to watching shows as well.
Real TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm too deep into HoloLive now.
What about games, though? Besides Mass Effect 3, has there been anything that's, like, been disappointingly bad ending? Like, like, Sonic 06 had a bad ending, but, like, it had a bad everything else, too, so it's not like it dropped the ball at the end.
Actually, like, on a kind of, like, a two-for-two thing, like, BioWare fucked up the Dragon Age ending as well. Like, Dragon Age Inquisition was kind of a dumb ending, like...
Oh, no.
But, yeah, Mass Effect was, like, very egregious in, like, how bad it was, to the point where, like, you know it's bad because they had to patch in a new ending. Like...
I'd say the ending to Breath of the Wild wasn't, like, spectacular. Like, it didn't, like, offend me or make me sad or anything. It was like, oh, okay, I mean... This is fine, I guess.
There's plenty, like...
I still have to go back and play it, like, after I got the photos. I know there's another ending to unlock, but, like, the standard ending's like, well, guess we beat Ganon.
I mean, the end. I mean, there's some, like, some of the Final Fantasy games that definitely had endings where I'm like, well, that's just dumb. Like,
oh, Final Fantasy VII Remake had a horrible ending. Actually, I forgot about that.
But then, like, also, like, Final Fantasy X kind of had a dumb ending. Like, but Tidus never existed.
Final Fantasy VII Remake is only half of the game, though, right?
Not even half. It's, like, literally the first disc of four. Like,
oh, Jesus.
That's what's nuts about that.
Well, see, here's the thing, though. It didn't need to... The ending didn't need to be bad, because we all knew, well, it's not going to be, like, the end of the story, but, like, you would think it'd be a good act break.
Or, like, a good cliffhanger, yeah.
Yeah.
But the act break happens, and then the story goes on for, like, 10 more minutes. Like,
it's very strange in, like, the way that they decided to do that.
Like, we have to put Sephiroth in here. Like, no, you don't. Like, but we did. Like, oh, yeah. Honey.
It was weird, is, like, the nicest way to put it.
Yeah.
But, like... I don't know, I can't really think of, like, really, like, Mass Effect is the one that just always sticks out when I'm thinking of, like, a game with a bad ending. Like, especially when you're talking about a series like that, you know, 3 video games, like, that's not a short series. Like...
Nope, that's at least 9 years.
Yeah, so, you know, that's kind of why I think it sticks out, because I'm like, yeah, like, it sucks because, like, it was so long, like, long-waited for, like, the ending of it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think maybe that and, like, yeah, Dragon Age. Just really sad. That's 2 BioWare games.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on Supernatural? Like, is this going to be a renaissance for Tumblr? Like, I've seen videos that Tumblr is, like, people came out of the world, were like, we didn't want to be dragged back in, but we have been.
Like, I feel like I haven't been on Tumblr. I've been just been, like, kind of enjoying the memes from afar as, like, my fellow, like, former Supernatural fan friends have sent them to me. But yeah, it's bad. Like, at least the memes about how bad it was are funny. But, like, this was not an episode for the fans. This was not an episode, really, I think, for the characters. Like...
Who was this episode for?
Unclear, like, who profited from this episode besides, like, the CW and the actors. Like,
it was for the writers. They just wanted to get one last, like just dig the knife in one more.
Qui bono, Steph. Qui bono.
Yeah. That's what I gotta ask.
Who bonoed?
Who bonoed? My iPhone, when they put all of that YouTube music on it.
Ha.
That's an old joke for you.
We're getting old.
I've been old.
This is cool.
Man, I got a tattoo yesterday, and, like, so I was, like, but it was on my leg, and the way that I was laying, and the way that, and, like, it hurting and stuff, like, my entire body was just clenched the entire day. And it's not even done. I have to go back to get it finished. But, like, I ache so badly today, like, all over, not just, like, the part that was, like, stabbed, like, 100,000 times with a needle. That part's fine. That part's a little tender. The rest of me feels like I did, like, a, like, burpees for an hour. Like, what the fuck?
We call that a flex, because you were flexing your whole body.
Yeah. I mean, that's a symptom. Well, that's part of the human condition of... Our bodies, our bodies suck.
Yeah, they're not great. Don't love them.
That's generally why people say, like, that's why they don't tell you to do full body Kegels for 4 hours, because it'll just make you, like, just turn into, like, a knot.
Yeah.
Like, just a solid muscle. It's no bueno.
It's no bueno.
No bono.
No no one bono.
No change.
No one bono.
Anyway, Dom, you want to tell us about your topic?
No one bonoed.
Who's bonoing there?
Yeah, we can talk about Bones, the show with David Borealis. No, there's this old skit.
The Aurora Davialis.
So I always get confused because I used to watch or listen to this podcast that Jim Sterling was on, Back for Destructoid, the Potoid, and he kept making the mistake in his head that Dave Boreanaz's name was Matt Borealis, and, like, it became, like, a running joke within the show, and, like, so now I can't remember what his real last name is. I was like, it's the guy from Bones, Dave B, because I can't, And, like, if I think about it, I know. But, like, the first thing that pops in my head is not Boreanaz, which is too bad. But, yeah, the Game Awards nominees got announced. The Jeff Keighley promotional special is coming up December 10th on Thursday, which, you know, a lot more people may watch because we don't have to go anywhere the next day because, you know, the world. But, yeah, so...
I do know the world. I wish I knew less about the world.
Same.
Yeah. But, yeah, there's some nominees for Game of the Year. It's going to be Doom Eternal, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Ghost of Tsushima, Hades, Animal Crossing New Horizons, and The Last of Us Part II, which is a very nice section of games that I feel like are very representative of this year.
Yeah. As somebody who is literally currently playing through Ghost of Tsushima for the first time, I'm glad that game got nominated because, holy shit, it's very good. It's very, very good. Have you ever watched a samurai movie and been like, I wish I could play a game of that?
That's what it is.
Because that's what it is. Like, it's very impressive.
Nice. Now, I feel like people have compared it to being like a samurai type Dark Souls. Is that accurate?
Yeah, like
gameplay wise, not necessarily
sort of. Like, I would honestly say like Sekiro is faster, like is more like comparable to that, just by the fact that it is faster paced in a way. Gotcha. But, like, it definitely feels like that. Like, it's very, you know, like, parry, dodge, like, block, combat, and, like, you know, building out combos and stuff in, like, different, like, sword forms and stuff like that. And you get, like, little tools, and you can throw pocket sand.
Pocket sand!
And I've been playing the multiplayer, and pocket sand's real good. Stops the enemies from being able to do anything. It's perfect.
What's a Game Awards without a Souls like on the list?
Yeah.
Now, it sucks going through all of these nominations for the various categories.
Yeah.
Because they're mostly all the same games with here and there a few differences. Like, Best Game Direction, it lost Doom Eternal and Animal Crossing, but gained Half-Life Alyx, but the rest are the same. So, like, I saw a thing. I think Hades and maybe Final Fantasy VII Remake are, like, the most nominated games. Like, Hades is up for, like, 10 awards. The Last of Us is up there a lot, too. It's just, it's cool to see an indie-ish game be there. Ori and the Will of the Wisps is also for Best Art Direction, so it's just kind of funny to see, like, two of the five games listed are not what you would consider AAA. Maybe double or single A, we don't really have that distinction, but they're not, like, bajillion-dollar projects like the other three on this list. There's a lot going on. You know, Best Score in Music is basically, like I said, it's the first category again, but you lost Animal Crossing for Ori.
Which, okay, so speaking as somebody who has played a whole lot of Animal Crossing, and as well as, like, Steph has definitely done the same, I think Animal Crossing deserves a nomination for Best Score. The music in that game is really good and very atmospheric.
It's good, and it's, like, very specifically, like, it's different for by the hour and by the weather.
And season, and there's a lot of variation. There's a lot of music in that game.
Yeah, I don't know why it's not on there. Maybe because you hear it so much.
Yeah.
People are like, well, maybe, you know what, it's there too much.
I mean, I think the real issue is that, I think I saw a commentator say that, you know, it's a crime that, like, Half-Life Alyx didn't get a Game of the Year nomination, and that Doom Eternal did, when Doom Eternal is kind of just more of Doom 2016, so...
Doom Eternal got put on that list because it came out the same day as Animal Crossing, and they didn't want them to feel left out.
Hey, fair.
Best ongoing game, No Man's Sky made it on that list. It's nice to see the turnaround that No Man's Sky has had, because that game released and was a crowd anti-favorite. Yeah.
I was going to say, I feel like people were not happy about that at the beginning.
I'm one of those people who quite poorly bought it on release, because I was like, I could go for a space sim game, and was like, wow, there's nothing to do in this game. but now, like, I've gone back and played it a few times. It's very good, so I'm glad to see it on that list.
And just to do another one, best performance for either voice acting, motion capture, or whatever. They have Ashley Johnson as Ellie in The Last of Us Part II, Laura Bailey as Abby, The Last of Us Part II. Again, don't harass people, don't do it at all. But also doesn't make sense to do it to voice actors. But again, don't do it to anybody. Daisuke
Tsuji
as Jin Sakai from, in Ghost of Tsushima.
And
sorry, I'm bad. I don't know how to pronounce Japanese names. My apologies. No, it's cool.
It's like Spanish that you just pronounce every letter.
Yeah.
Okay. Like. And then Logan Cunningham is Hades from Hades, which is very interesting when someone gets nominated for one of the roles they do in a game.
But not all of them.
Not for the whole game. Because Logan Cunningham, I think, does like half the voices in that. Not half, but like at least three voices in that game.
Yeah.
And then Najee Jeter as Miles Morales in Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Good.
So, you know, so there's lots of different stuff in here. You know, it's weird to see best indie. Fall Guys is there.
Yeah.
So best mobile game Among Us got.
Best mobile game.
Yeah.
What are the other
Genshin Impact?
Okay, I was gonna say is Genshin Impact on there for mobile games. That makes sense.
It's Among Us, Call of Duty Mobile, Genshin Impact, Legend of Runeterra, and Pokemon Cafe Mix. Which that just seems like we needed to fill
these
the category.
These were the five games we had.
But like, yeah, I was gonna say if Among Us doesn't win it, that's nonsense. But Genshin Impact, that could be there. That's fair.
Yeah,
actually,
that's at least a full fledged game that you can play on a mobile device.
I was gonna say I found when we played the first time, like I played Among Us for like 5 minutes on mobile, and I was like, I'm gonna spend the $5
to not play it on mobile.
Yeah, and then like Pokemon Cafe Mix was fun, but like it takes them like 6 months to add new levels, like.
Yeah,
launched with 200 levels, like, buddy.
Yeah, like, come on, fam. Like, you gotta. It's a Pokemon game. You know how people are going to go with this kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, I'm one of those.
And then lastly,
I'm one of those people who I do end up playing a lot of mobile games, and I do think that they are. I think that they were careful to not nominate a lot of gacha games, because there are some that came out this year that are actually fairly good, and.
Yeah.
To see them specifically avoid them, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, like, we know what happens with these.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say Genshin Impact was just so much of a phenomenon, it would be weird to not mention it, but like.
I could see them arguing to not let it win.
Yeah. And then lastly, for me, I mean, there's a lot more stuff, but I don't want to go on and on. Best multiplayer, Animal Crossing. Among Us, Call of Duty Warzone, Fall Guys, and Valorant. Again, a very nice mix of different things.
Yeah, quite a spread.
Yeah, different levels of like action, violence, cuteness, grittiness. And I'd say probably Valorant would be right to the right of that. I don't know what to be the middle, but like it's cool. See, Animal Crossing, there's no violence. It's very cute. Among Us has violence.
Sort of.
But that's not always.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's. And then there's Fall Guys, which there's not violence at all. I mean, you fall off, but you don't get hurt or die. And then there's Call of Duty, which is War Crimes the game, and Valorant, which is potentially War Crimes but fantasy War Crimes, so it's like whatever, there's good music. So it's good to see like all the different kind of stuff that's being nominated for various things this year. It's a good spread of things.
I will say I'm kind of surprised that they didn't nominate Ghost of Tsushima there as well, because it got this huge patch that was 100% free. Then it basically put in an entire multiplayer mode that didn't exist when the game came out. And it is essentially like a whole nother campaign, like another story mode, basically, that you just play co-op. And then like a survival mode, and there's like, you know, gear, like you level up your gear, you level up your different classes, like it's like this whole like RPG built into it, kind of almost like Destiny. But like it just plays like the main game of Ghost of Tsushima. It's very impressive, like for the fact that they put it out for free. So, I don't know.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how it goes into all this, honestly.
Yeah,
I really have no clue.
It's an arcane process of, like, I believe they ask, like, specific journalists to give input, and, like, they talk to, like, I don't know. Who knows? But, you know, they're... Obviously, they're going to miss some, like, options.
Yeah, it seems less biased...
Yes.
...than, like, the Oscars, for example.
Yeah.
And video games at least have the thing of saying... Yeah, some of these are like 60-hour experiences. Like, it's going to be hard to get to everything. Like, like movies, it's already impossible to get to everything. And most movies are like 2 hours median. Whereas, like, the average game is at least 3 hours if you do averages. And then if someone's like, well, I played Animal Crossing for 8 hours, like, that's not really the experience, though. Which, not to say that you played it wrong. You play it however you want to. But that's vastly different than the intended experience versus, like, Tetris. Like, if you played like 5 rounds of Tetris, you get it. Like, that's you get the gist of this, you know? So I don't know. It's tricky. But yeah, let's transition over to our rapid stuff. Yeah. But before we do that, let's do some ad copy, some ad break.
Hell yeah.
Remember, we're sponsored by Grinding Coffee Company. They sell coffee, black and LGBTQ plus owned. So that's very nice. They use ethically sourced material from what I understand.
Yep.
So that's great, you know. Get your coffee from them. They make coffee for streamers and gamers and stuff like that. It's great. Do you like black people? Do you like queer people? Do you like us? Do you like coffee? Like, it's good. There's something there for everybody.
Even if you're only one out of four, still hit them up and use our code character reveal on checkout to save 13%.
If you don't like coffee, buy me coffee.
Yeah.
You can do that, actually.
You can buy coffee totally as a gift for someone else.
Yeah.
Christmas is coming. You should start shopping now.
Yeah, and they're not like some big giant company, so it's not like you're helping the Beesbot get more money. So yeah, it's like shopping locally, like it's local to somebody. But yeah. Follow.
Support black-owned small businesses.
Yes, you absolutely should do that. That's a good thing to do. Yep, links in the description or comments or however you are listening to this. It'll be there. So yeah, check that out. So let's talk about a lot of random stuff. Let's go somewhat quick. Fleets. That's a thing.
Yeah.
Fleets, they're a thing. Because capitalism is all about innovation. So every social media network looks exactly the same with stories at the top of their page now.
Yep. And actually, the most interesting thing about the Fleets story, so just to like quickly summarize for people who may not be so tuned in, Fleets is essentially the stories of Twitter. The idea that you can like post stories and people can see them, they're not permanent, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Apparently, this happened because the investment company that bought the majority share of Twitter a couple years ago said that Twitter needed to be better about innovating and like evolving as a social media platform in order to like keep up with its competition. And that.
And so instead of getting rid of the Nazis, they were like, let's make it look like all the other ones.
Yes. And the thing is like, that is specifically what the investment firm wanted them to do. They were like, you need to have a stories function.
Oh, okay. So that's not even Twitter acting like they thought people were just like, we have
like,
to do
Twitter
this.
Twitter was like told they had to do this, and they were like, well, okay then.
Well, that sucks, but like that's better than them thinking it's a good idea. That makes me feel like 1% better.
Yeah, so I mean, the addition is that in addition to them being called like being just like weird dumb, is that they're called Fleets.
Yeah.
Which is apparently like a gay sex thing.
Yeah, they are a brand of enemas so that you can properly clear yourself out to partake in
butt stuff.
Booty times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all had a different word for that. That was pretty good.
it's funny that so many people said that. Like, I just think about like fleets of ships and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw like this really weird tweet. Someone's like, I can't believe we're trying to make Fleets a noun. And I'm like, it is a noun. Like, it's been a noun longer than Twitter has been.
What is it? I mean, it could be an adjective, I guess. Like, if like fleet of foot, but like, it's always been a noun.
Yeah. It baffled me. So I didn't respond to it because people don't like to respond and be responded to on Twitter, I suppose. but I'm like, I hope this is just a joke that I'm missing. So I'm going to ignore it. But yeah, so that happened. I guess Mads Mikkelsen's going to be in Fantastic Beasts.
Oh yeah,
because Depp is out.
Yeah, still isn't going to make me watch it, but Johnny Depp is out and Mads Mikkelsen is in as Grindelwald, and you know, much better choice if I still cared about Harry Potter.
At all.
At all.
Yeah, it's just an interesting thing because I know this is like such a developing story and a lot of people are upset on Johnny Depp's behalf because they're like, yo, this isn't as cut and dry as it seems. Which is, like, this is the first time I've seen it happen in, like, a billion stories where it's like, oh, there might actually be something to this. They're not just defending a man on the base of misogyny. This might actually be... I haven't looked into it too much, but I've talked to a few people that are like, no, it's not as one-sided. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay, well, whoever's the person who deserves justice, if either of them, I hope they get that. I'm still not going to go see Fantastic Beasts because that wasn't the reason I wasn't watching
these movies. I wasn't seeing it in the first place. It was, like, part of it, but not the whole reason, or not the not the primary reason.
So, yeah. Like I said, I think the neutral take on this is to say I hope whoever is in the wrong gets what they deserve, and whoever has been wronged gets what they deserve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't care to look into it too much more than that until there's, like, some more solid stuff, but... Also, like, please stop supporting Harry Potter stuff. Like, I still see so many people, like, hey, like, I'm taking a Hogwarts quiz. I'm like, guys, stop.
Yeah.
Please stop. Like, let it die from the discourse. Like, read another book.
Yes.
Yeah, also, like, it's not even really relevant anyhow. Yeah.
Read another book. There are other books do exist.
I've read even, like, two or three of them yesterday while I was getting this tattoo.
Oh, here's some book stuff. Overwatch released like another short story with lore about Symmetra and Zenyatta. It only took 4 years. Wow. And these are characters that have been in the game the whole time. I haven't looked into it. Yeah, I'm happy to see it. So they did like one of those more challenge things where you get a spray, an icon, and a costume for Symmetra. So that's pretty cool. I don't have much else to say about it than that. I haven't played a lot of Overwatch recently. It has been less fun to play recently, and just, you know, some of the top level players are very, how to put this, they're very athletic, but they're not, like, necessarily game smart, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Back, there used to be, like, a meta game where, like, people said it was Brigitte that enabled it, and she just kind of supported it, honestly. People point out that you couldn't do it without Lucio and Reinhardt, honestly. But they put Brigitte in the game because Genji and Tracer were running amok, and they still can. But people in the high levels are like, this.
Control.
Yeah, they're like, this meta, with it's called GOATs, and it's impossible to beat. There's nothing you can do. Blizzard needs to change. And it was like that for like a year and a half until they finally said, fine, you can only play 2 supports, 2 tanks, and 2 DPS. But like the last official games they had with that, Shanghai was like, oh, but we figured out a way to beat it. And they, like, completely trashed the other team using it, like, because there was no way to stop Wrecking Ball. I'm like, oh, so this was able to be stopped, but no one wanted to put that little bit of effort in, because they're like, well, what's the easiest way to win? Which is what you should do. That makes sense. But, like, it's the easiest thing to do in football is throw Hail Marys, because it's hard to stop it if your guy is faster. But you can't do that the whole time, because it might not work.
Yeah.
And I'm like, So, and I've seen some other streamers say, like, oh, no, you're able to stop this character, except nobody tries, because people have been playing this game for 4 years and don't understand prioritization. So, like, the dev team has to keep listening to these people, and it just gets, like, unfun to play as, like, any role that's not damage. So, I've been mostly just playing Hades and Slay the Spire, and I jump into Overwatch every now and then, but it just gets frustrating. Like, even to win is like, that wasn't really fun.
Well,
which is kind of a bad sign when a game's not even fun when you win.
To be fair, Blizzard is not exactly currently making any sort of good decisions, so
no, it's bad. But
their World of Warcraft expansion comes out tomorrow, or whatever day you happen to be listening to this.
It's gonna be a couple days ago.
Yeah, but it's Monday at 6:30 p.m. EST. I don't understand.
You know, because...
That normal game release time.
Yeah. On a Monday. Like...
I guess they want to get it done on a Monday because this is a holiday weekend.
Well, I mean, I think the major thing is that they wanted it out before the holidays in general because this was supposed to come out about a month ago.
About a week ago.
And, you know, hit those delays, so... I think they just want to get it done.
That's fair. It's just like, just release it when it's the first business day that it's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was no BlizzCon this year, so.
I think they were doing a virtual one, but did they cancel that too?
I think it's like for January or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet you I'll see a unicorn before I see Overwatch 2. Anyway. I stole that joke, but it's true. There's a game called Framemakers right now that's in Kickstarter development. It's basically indie Smash Bros. So that's cool.
Haven't there been a number of indie Smash Bros?
Yeah, there have been. One was called Indie Pogo, but it wasn't just straight Smash Bros. It was like you're always jumping.
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
It was like an interesting... Yeah, it was pretty
And like right. Rivals of Aether exists, and that can be a Smash Bros. With whatever you want in it, because they allow mods. So...
Yeah. This one has like... It's officially has characters in it. And like the Watcher from Slay the Spire, which I think is a weird character to pull, but that makes me happy. And lots of, like, assist trophy type, well, like, not, like, summons or assists kind of thing, like Marvel Capcom 2, like, you call in a buddy, has more representation. So that's fun. Twitch is having DMCA issues still to this day.
Yeah, they've gotten worse, in fact, because of, like, new enforcement from Amazon in general. So
yeah.
It's been a interesting to see the way that streamers are having to deal with it. And, you know, it's weird to see who's getting DMCA'd for what. It's bad.
Yeah, this stuff's always rough.
Yeah, Vine.
So what I've been what I've been doing is just putting like OC Remix music on and turning the game music down in my games.
Yeah,
but the only stuff I stream is really like again Slay the Spire, which I've had the music off anyway. Hades, which I don't think it would be an issue, but I turn it off in case. And then Overwatch, which I'm always playing music over top that, so the incidental music is very infrequent. Yeah. So
it's just, you know, like it. I think Jeff Gerstmann of Giant Bomb put it very well of this is, you know, another death knell of the music industry not wanting to adapt with the times and instead saying, well, how do we get our money?
How do we get ours?
Rather than like, how do we innovate to make this work in a way that makes sense? It's more just them being like, well, no, we want to get paid, son. So
yeah, and like I've discovered music from hearing it in a Twitch stream, like, oh, what is that song? Like, I want to listen to this like on my own and give it some streams, like, but now I'm not going to hear anything new other than the games I'm already seeing. So
yeah.
What else? New Among Us map is coming out. I should have mentioned that in the Game Awards. Among Us finally has a Twitter account.
Yes.
The developers had one, but they finally made one for that game, and they teased the new map, so that's going to be fun. So nice. Everyone will still keep playing the first unskilled.
I was going to say, everyone's still just going to keep
I think now that they've had so many users, they could probably like adjust the feedback and say, you know what, they probably want something along the lines of the size of the skilled and not some of the bigger ones. Which is fine. Wonder Woman 84 is going to be streaming.
Thank God.
It's going to be released in theaters, but the same day it's going to come out to HBO Max. And I think you make that kind of decision when you think there will be some places where theaters can open.
Yeah.
And you're like, but there are, because I think other countries, by the time this comes out, I didn't check the date. It may actually be able to be released in some theaters relatively safely. Oh, it's coming out this Christmas?
Yeah.
I mean, there are still some countries like that are doing perfectly fine and
you know, haven't had like cases for months. Like, it's just us in the UK. And at least the UK has socialized healthcare.
Yeah, us, the UK, and then like Poland.
So much stuff.
Everything's bad.
Oh yeah, Monster Hunter, the movie apparently has a Chinese date. That's cool, I guess, according to this trailer. Or not trailer, but this website. I don't know why they're making a Monster Hunter movie that doesn't look like Monster Hunter.
Yeah, and it has, like, the U.S. military in it.
That's how we know who's funding it.
Yeah, it's just very strange. I don't know who it's for.
Yeah. Okay, so it's, like, a limited time, apparently, on HBO Max. But, I mean, anybody who really does want to see it that bad will see it within that 30 days. So that's cool enough. Nintendo canceled a Smash Melee tournament because it's using alternate technology. It's like someone figured out how to like mod Melee to have good netcode.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, didn't have
any netcode.
Melee didn't have any netcode. Like, it wasn't an online game, so that's not fair to say it that way. But it is because like Brawl and 4 and Ultimate had bad netcode.
Yeah.
So people figured out how to play that game online very well, and Nintendo put the cease and desist on that tournament, which, honestly, I'm going to be real with you guys. I really hate Smash Melee, and I want it to die, but I don't think it should be Nintendo that kills it. You know what I mean? I think that's really terrible.
Yeah.
They don't stand to make any money from this game. I understand they're within their rights to do this. I'm not arguing that, but I don't think it's cool to like shut down a fan endeavor like this, especially when, again, they literally can't make any money off of Melee at this point because it's not available to sell anymore. Yeah. It's like a
19-year-old
game. Yeah, yeah, it's a 19-year-old GameCube game that's out of print, on a system that's out of print.
And that really only works on a TV that's out of print.
Yes,
like,
yeah. On a CRT. So, like, I get it. Like, I also agree with you in that, you know, it's kind of shitty for them to do that, but at the same time, it has to do a lot with not only like American IP laws, but also like Japanese copyright laws are also like somewhat arcane in the ways that they function. And, you know, basically it comes down to if a company doesn't protect its IP, they can lose the rights to it. So And even if that's this thing that's, you know, 20...
Mario becomes public domain.
Yeah, and, like, Nintendo, it's obviously not in Nintendo's interest to let that happen, or let it be argued in court that, like, oh, well, you let this tournament happen, so I should be allowed to put Mario in my Smash Brothers game that I'm making. You know, it's far-fetched that that would happen, but I can see why they don't want to take any legal risks with it.
Yeah. And that kind of makes me upset. Like, I get them shutting down, like, fan games and stuff for those kind of reasons. This, to me, I'm like, this is not... I think it really comes down to the fact that they're using, like, modded software,
yeah,
in a way. Because they don't have issues with people doing online tournaments with other games. Mostly because how are you going to stop people from playing the game,
yeah,
in a way that you intended them to play it? So I think it gets kind of tricky that way, but... I don't know, it just looks even more striking when you see other companies, like, working with their fans to foster their product.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying Nintendo is smart about it. They've never been smart with, like, fan interaction, especially, like, involving the internet. But
yeah,
it's just...
I get it, but it makes me,
yeah,
sad.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I desperately wish that there was a change in IP laws so that Nintendo didn't have to worry about that. You know, it's...
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Which, exactly. I will say, it's probably is not the highest priority on anyone's list for, yeah, this purpose, but if you're not buying grindingcoffee.co coffee with it, donate some of your money to the runoffs in Georgia.
Yes, please.
Yeah, that's fair. It's law-related stuff. Last few things. There's not a lot. There's another thing, though.
There's DuckTales. Oh, yeah. Watch that.
Yeah, one last thing I'll say before we get into those two things, because I think they're related. YouTube has a change where they're putting ads on non-partnered videos, but those people won't get ad revenue, so that's cool.
Yeah, it's super shitty.
It's actually awful. I hate it. Yeah,
they've also started doing a lot more mid-roll ads as just, like, a general practice, which it's, like...
It's really annoying.
It's really annoying, especially if you're someone like me who's watching, like, a 11-hour stream of somebody playing a game... And then, like random ass points, it's like, here's an ad for something completely fucking random because I have all that ad tracking turned off. So I get some fucking wild ads.
Hey, do you want to see Ben Shapiro some more? Yeah.
I don't even get that. I get like foreign language ads. Like I get ads in Spanish. I get ads in Korean. I get ads for like China, like Chinese only delivery services. Like
for fleets,
yeah, but like I just get like these really really weird things.
Yeah, they do what they can, I guess. Yeah, but you said DuckTales.
We have
cartoons this week too to close things out.
The cartoons, they were good. The DuckTales was an episode about how Scrooge and like Scrooge became kind of like the ward of Della and Donald and their first adventure together, which was really cute. And also, like, kind of the backstory of Fowl.
Yeah, we keep getting little pieces of information.
Which is very interesting.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. It was nice. We got to see young Della and young Donald.
Yeah,
that actually
was really cute.
I got really sad because the actress who played young Donald in the Christmas episode last season was the original voice for Huey, Dewey, and Louie, but she passed away, I think, earlier this year or late last year, which is
bad. Sad.
So somebody else was doing the voice, Christina V, and she's a very talented voice actress. Like, it's not, no one's upset about her being that person. It's just like, just, oh no, we lost the great. So that's too bad. But the episode was very good. We got to see some action. It's funny seeing young Donald. He's a little emo kid. It's fun. Yeah.
They definitely said the word "eat the rich." Like, there's definitely a screen cap with subtitles out there somewhere of Donald saying "eat the rich" because he's like dunking on Scrooge for being like a billionaire asshole for most of the episode. Which I feel like I need that screen cap for reasons.
It also kind of has the implication that Scrooge is not a billionaire for any other reason but than to see that if he could do it.
Yeah, he was like, it seems like he just accepted.
Yeah, it seems like he's just doing that to see if he can and. I don't know. Billionaires are bad, but at least they do the legwork of like, no, he earned this money. I mean, it wasn't good things, but he didn't exploit people to get this money. He just found treasures, which is grave robbing and stealing from other cultures. But like, you know, that's kind of the basis of these countries anyway. I don't know. It's a shame. Anyway, yeah, also Animaniacs came out this week. It's good.
I believe it.
You all should watch it if you have Hulu. And I've only seen the first 5 episodes out of 13.
They're making people mad on the internet, right?
I think so. I don't know if it's one of those situations where we assume people are mad and that becomes the stories people talking about that, or if people are actually mad, which I assume people probably are mad.
People are mad at everything all the time, so yeah. Yes.
I haven't looked into it, and there's a couple people... There's some people that are just mad because they say the animation's not as good, which they haven't seen it. They've just seen screenshots.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know how there's that anime scene in the trailer?
Uh-huh.
There's like an anime scene in one of the episodes, which everyone knows based on...
The trailer.
Yeah, we know that that's not the whole show. That's just like a sequence. So there's this sequence where they look like little cute, like, kawaii type characters.
Mm-hmm.
And that screenshot is being used. And people are like, oh, I can't believe they made it look like this. I'm like, have you not seen the trailer or anything? Like, they don't look like that the whole show. Like, maybe for an episode. I haven't got to that one yet. But that's not what the show looks like. You're just getting mad at stuff because...
You're just getting mad on the internet.
Yeah, you're just getting mad on the internet. But it's pretty good. Sometimes they lay on some of the jokes a little longer than I would personally like. But that's, like, whatever. But I have wondered... I have no idea who... Like, this show... So, remember how I've said, like, I didn't know who the DuckTales reboot was for? Because, like, you get the most enjoyment out of it being nostalgic, but it's definitely a kid show.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
This is... I'm pretty sure it's, like, no, this... It's just aimed at nostalgic adults. But they know kids will watch it. Because I think Brain does say... He's, like, going to make someone experience hell. And I'm like, you can't say that, like, in a kid show. Like, it's rated PG. But it's definitely, like, a children's type show. And Yakko, Wakko, and Dar are like, hey, this is a kid show. I'm like, is it? Like, is this a kid show? Or is it just a kid-friendly kid adult show?
Yeah.
Like how Bob's Burgers isn't a kid show. But, like, a kid could probably watch Bob's Burgers without too much incident. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, you wouldn't, like, let your kid watch it unsupervised, but, like, for the most part, there's nothing super scandalous in there other than, like, Tina maybe says son of a bitch and, like, Louis says hell, but, like, it's not a lot. It's... If you found out your kid was watching Bob's Burgers, like, hey, you know, maybe we need to talk about some things, but for the most part, it's just, like, wholesome little family. I think Animaniacs is probably that same type of thing.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know. But I think it's really clever. They do some fun stuff. There's some updates, and, you know, they updated to be, like, more, obviously, like, gender and ethnically diverse, like, mm-hmm. as a dick move to shitty people.
Hell yeah. Fuck them.
But, like, yeah, but, like, the CEO of whatever Warner Brothers Hollywood place that they live at,
mm-hmm.
instead of, like, that old white dude, it's, like, an ambiguously brown woman. Nice. Which, like, but you see, like, the picture of the old guy's like, oh, yeah, I guess he would have died in the last 20 years. Like, yeah, it makes sense that he's not here anymore. Like, okay, that was more of like a legacy joke rather than anything else. So it's pretty good. The Pinky and the Brain skits are pretty funny. It feels like they haven't really missed a beat. And they have the same voice actors back, so it feels good.
Feels so good, yeah. Bro.
Yeah, and the first episode talks about reboots and makes a lot of good references.
Nice.
At one point, they're climbing their tower, and Batman and Wonder Woman are there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like... Not Iron Man, but a big buff guy with an iron forehead is there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what is, oh, it's Iron Man, I get it, haha, because they don't own Iron Man, so they can't make that physical joke. But they make a lot of jokes. At one point, they're driving around, like, a tour group. He's like, oh, if you look to your left, you'll see the soundstage where they filmed Batman. And everyone's like, oh, it's Phoenix, like, versus Superman. They're like, oh. And I'm like... they make fun of a different property in that first episode, and I won't spoil it, because I think you can spoil jokes, actually, more so than stories. Like, you take the punchline away, it's like, oh, I took the punchline. But they kind of dunk on one franchise that the WB did that was kind of ill-advised for non-problematic reasons. It was just bad. They make a joke about that in the first episode. It's very cool. So they also point out that a lot of these episodes were written in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So before any of the stuff.
Well, so if some of the stuff is like, it's like, oh, that feels timely. It's like, that's an accident. Like they point out, like, yeah, Donald Trump is president. We think he will be. But we don't know, because this is 2018 when we're writing this. So, like, maybe he won't be, maybe he will.
Sad to inform them.
Yeah.
I'm glad to inform them, because they don't like that dude. They make fun of him in a different episode.
Oh, just sad, like, sad to inform him that he did not leave in the...
Yeah.
In any extra, like, extraordinary way. He was not impeached or,
Well, he was impeached.
Yeah. He was impeached, but he was not removed, or, like, he was not K*LLED or anything.
Yeah.
In Minecraft.
In Minecraft.
He wasn't harmed in a video game. But no, I saw, I was watching Andre the Black Nerd, his, like, recap, of his, like, review of it, and he points out this theory that I kind of agree with, that this show was not supposed to necessarily all be coming out right now at once. Because there's sort of, like, a Halloween-type episode or gag. There's, like, an Olympics episode, and you're like, yeah, if you time out some of these weeks, yeah, it could have been, like, two little mini-seasons that came out this year, and it would have actually been timely, but COVID happened, so, like, the Olympics didn't happen... Halloween wasn't at the same time. Some of the election jokes, like, felt awfully timed, like, oddly timed. And it's like, oh yeah, because this show came out in a weird year at a weird time, so it's a whole thing.
That makes sense.
But yeah, it's good. I recommend it. And the original is on Hulu if you want to check that out. It's still very good. It's always been political and left-leaning. If you missed that, that's on you.
Yeah. for real. Like, that. There's no question about that show.
Yeah.
But yeah, the designs are very good. I could gush about it for a while. I can gush about so many things. There's a lot of cool things. This has been a terrible year with a lot of great media and content. Let's say that.
Yeah. All right, and now, like, we're running up on half an hour, or an hour and a half, so...
Yeah, there's some...
But hold on, I want to talk about the World of Warcraft expansion. No, I don't. No, I don't. I don't want to talk about it.
I don't want
to. Yeah, let's finish up. I think we did a good job.
Yeah, so if you want
to great job
find us anywhere,
great job,
us. No change.
Great job. I have a horn change. That says it. Great job.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Congratulations. So if you want to find us on the internet, you can find us in your browser at characterreveal.simplecast.fm. You can find us in the podcast catcher of your choice by searching for Character Reveal. You can find us on Twitter at CharacterRev, on Instagram at CharacterReveal, on Facebook by searching for Character Reveal. You can delete that.
Yep.
You can find us separately on various places. You can find Dom on the internet anywhere he wants to be found by searching for Brother Dom. You can find Eric at Tindy Losi on Twitter. And you can find me at Hella Stuff on Twitter, at The Snow Queer on Tumblr, and at Hella Stuff on Instagram.
And let's be real, if you can find any singular one of us, you can find all of us.
Yeah. Did I say Captain Steph on Twitter?
Yep.
Hello, Steph. Okay. That's it. That's all of us. Support grindingcoffee.co. Donate to the Georgia runoffs. Call people like Phone Bank, IDK.
Yeah. And be more like Guy Fieri. He's a good dude, even if he's a silly man. He's a great Instagram, but he's also a good dude.
Be more, good dude. Be less like Alton Brown, more like Guy Fieri.
Holy shit. Let's talk about that next week, because what the... I have my hand in my face in my hand right now,
because
that took me for a ride. Listeners, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Geekly Reveal. There should be a character reveal out this week. If you haven't seen it, should have come out a couple days ago. It should be in your feed, but check that out if you found us a different way. But we appreciate y'all, and until next time, see you later.
Bye.